Welcome, dear listeners, to this Halloween episode of Stage Rant. Your hosts, Joseph and Adam, implore you to relax, get comfy, while they discuss some musicals so grim, so macabre, so hopeless, that only Tim Burton could have brought it to life. Ladies and gentlemen, and those in between, Stage Rant is proud to present on this All Hallows Eve, Sweeney Todd.
I want to change things up.
Ooh. New year, new me.
It's October.
Shit. Or a couple months early.
Well, welcome to Stage Rant, where two dudes equally secure in their masculinity and sexuality break down the biggest movie musicals each week. Myself, Adam, a man who wonders what the market price of a toe is, discuss the history of a show with...
Joe, a man who is convinced that the price may be $27. $27?
Oh.
That seems kind of fair. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of toes out there. Specifically, whatever the population is, times 10. Would be the number of toes that are out there.
7 trillion?
7 billion. Yeah.
7 trillion.
Oh my god. Who has a lot of strong pointed opinions? So without further ado, let us begin the show.
So Joe, what does the artistic style of Tim Burton, the music of Stephen Sondheim, and meat pies all have in common?
What the fuck is a meat pie?
It's not a sexual term. I know you thought about it.
I did. I checked this on Urban Dictionary, and I was unable to find anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a
meat pie, it's like, you know what a pie is?
Yes. Yes, I'm familiar.
Like a water, hot water crust.
Yes.
You know, kind of situation.
Yes.
You know how you put, like, apples or berries in it?
Yes. Oh, I like those pies.
Get them out of there.
Oh, okay.
Take some, like, chuck roast. Chuck it up.
Yeah.
A little onions, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of gravy.
I like those things.
Bacon in a pie?
Yeah. Wait, why is it in a pie format? Take those things out of the pie. Put them in my stomach. Why did they need to be breaded? Like,
easier to eat.
I'm gluten intolerant.
It's like a hamburger with more bun.
This is unnecessary. Lots of extra steps there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how, like, fruitcake, right? You know? Love fruit. Love cake.
Love cake, love fruit.
Fruitcake?
Not good.
Nasty crap.
Have you ever had fruitcake, though?
I have. Adequate at most.
It's fair.
Meat pies, same concept. Love meat. Love pies. Meat pie.
Favorite pie?
Apple pie. Any sort of Dutch apple pie.
Okay.
If it has like any sort of cinnamon crumble top.
Uh-huh. Mm,
chef's kiss.
Mm.
It's the je ne sais quoi of pies.
Gotcha. At the risk of it being an innuendo, cherry pie.
Cherry pie.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What about the cherry? I feel like it's just too sweet.
You see a tart cherry pie?
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, but then compote on the inside is just like, I feel like I'm just eating essentially like warm yogurt. You know, like,
I mean, if you have like a Cool Whip or whipped cream on top, it's gonna be
anywho, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd,
the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. We have a guest.
We do have a
this
guest.
This Halloween.
We do have a guest.
This
spooky.
Is our
a spooky guest.
Yes.
Spooky.
Yes, we have a friend, a dear friend, dear coworker, Miss Cecilia Gray.
Hello.
How are you? That was the most like NPR. Hello.
Hello and welcome to NPR.
Hello, I'm Cecilia Gray, and this is All Things Considered.
All Things Considered.
Yes, thanks for tuning into my podcast.
Yeah.
This is your morning drive with Cecilia Gray.
Oh. I'd listen. Would listen.
Would listen to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't have a morning drive.
Give me your best fake NPR story. So, you know, like, you know, it's a great NPR story when it's about a country mm-hmm. that may or may not sound like it exists
mm-hmm.
And about a conflict that broke out there between the rebel troops
and the origin is like obscure as fuck. It's like in Al-Jabadistan,
uh-huh.
rebels and partisans have
clashed.
Been fighting.
It clashed.
Been fighting,
they love the word clashed.
Yeah, have been clashing for years over the small selling of a baseball.
Uh-huh.
This is the story of strife on All Things Considered.
All Things Considered.
I'm listening. I'm listening to that podcast.
I know, right?
What's your best NPR?
So what's your best?
Oh,
your best?
I don't think I can top that.
No, you started,
oh, come on.
You started with an NPR introduction. So you must give us.
Follow
Lord.
Through.
Just okay, like, all right.
You have
right.
to start with.
I have to think of a country's name now. I have to, like,
it's not that hard. Just take something that sounds loosely like a Western, like, you know,
yeah.
think,
that once it broke out from
let's see here.
From Russia. Ended in a stan. That's important. Okay. Stan. Like, yes. Like Mogadishu stan.
Oh.
Mogadishu stan.
There we go. Okay, so Mogadishu stan.
Okay, so that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let me...
clear. Do some vocal warm-ups to make sure...
All right.
And you gotta get real close, almost like ASMR.
Like,
and
then just really
like a nice soft tone, right?
Yes, here it is.
Hello, friends. Thanks for tuning in to NPR, All Things Considered. Today, I'm gonna be sharing with you about a incident that happened in Mogadishustan. I lost it.
No, hold on, bring it back.
Okay.
You're doing really great. Okay. Talk about the rebel troops clashing with government forces.
Okay.
In an obscure square.
In an obscure square?
Like a town square. Okay. Just make fun
rebel
of
rebel troop forces. Yes, okay. We got this. Okay. So today's story is going to be about rebel troop forces who have taken a stand against the nation.
Yes.
And we'll see what's going to happen with the people. Coming up next. I don't know. I got it.
Gotta get out of it. I would listen.
Amazing.
I got goosebumps.
Would listen.
Goosebumps.
Got chills.
They're multiplying. I'm losing all control. Is that you, Lin-Manuel?
Lin-Manuel.
God, dude, I don't like this movie.
No?
Why is it?
For me personally, one of my top five musicals.
I think bottom five for me.
Bottom five.
Yes. you know how we keep it top and bottom.
This musical is fucking submissive.
Submissive, sweetie Todd.
Keeping track of like what I would not ever prefer to rewatch and rewatch again, Sweeney Todd is definitely. On the lower part of the list, yeah.
I have never felt closer to you. Adam, tell us about Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, so here are the numbers of Sweeney Todd. Do you want to start with the origin of Sweeney Todd or, like, what people have said about Sweeney Todd?
Let's start with the origin, and then we'll discuss why people, for some reason, allegedly like this film.
Cool. So the name Sweeney Todd, the character of, showed up in a Penny Dreadful serial. And Penny Dreadful's back in old Victorian time, short little horror stories that were... published every week in newspapers and magazines, showed up in this serial titled The String of Pearls. And he was basically just this serial killer who was a barber on Fleet Street, and he would murder people when they went to go get a shave and then turn their bodies over to Mrs. Lovett, who then turned them into meat pies, and ta-da. Then in 1973, there was a play that was...
Real quick, did it ever have a resurgence and on a limited run basis and appear next to the comics for Little Orphan Annie?
Little Orphan Annie?
Orphan, yes,
Orphan. There's a team. Orphan! Orphan Annie. A little season one callback there.
Yeah, did it ever... Did Sweeney Todd ever do a crossover?
Strictly British.
A heroic crossover series?
There was no with Sweeney Todd meets Little Orphan Annie.
Orphan Annie.
For the last time.
Uh-huh. She really needed a shave. One last shave.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, never happened.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah. And then there was a play in 1973 by some guy named Christopher Bond. And then in 1979, Stephen Sondheim... premiered on Broadway, Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, where it won the Tony Award for Best Musical and the Olivier Award, which is for the British Theatre Awards, also for Best New Musical. It's had multiple revivals. There was most recently a 2017 off-Broadway revival where they actually performed it in a meat pie shop in New York City.
That's awfully meta.
There was a more famous revival in 2005 that had Patti LuPone in it.
Ooh.
Where she played Mrs. Lovett, and that one was unique where there was no orchestra. Everyone on stage was playing an instrument.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So it's like once.
Yeah. Except Patti LuPone's playing the tuba.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay. Yeah,
so they're playing the instruments and singing at the same... It's wild.
Okay.
But Angela Lansbury, who we might know as Mrs. Potts.
Mrs. Potts.
Excuse me. Was
do you have COVID?
No, I have a. I'm good.
Gross. Okay.
I know.
No, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
No further questions at this time.
We're good. We're all vaccinated here. It's all good.
But are you double vaxxed? Have you gotten your booster?
Have you?
I have not gotten my booster.
Have you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are eligible yet.
No, not yet.
We are, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we could talk about this offline, but we work at a high exposure risk institution.
I'm going tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Let's all go tomorrow, go get lunch, go get our boosters. Anyway.
And then be out for the next 48 hours.
Right.
Ideally.
Angela Lansbury played Mrs. Lovett in the original Broadway production. So, yeah, that's the only... That's why this is the history of Sweeney Todd, the musical. Then the film comes out in 2007. It was not supposed to be directed by Tim Burton. It was originally supposed to be directed by Sam Mendes, who directed the James Bond films Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
He also directed 1917, and he was supposed to direct this musical. Then
why?
He had to drop out last minute, and DreamWorks was like, hey, Tim Burton, what are you doing? And he's like, brooding.
What are you doing? Some weird shit. What are you doing?
Want to do it over here for us? Okay.
Okay.
But he actually has Stephen Sondheim directly involved in the production, so Sondheim was very heavily involved in decisions that were made, so it wasn't strictly Tim Burton making Johnny Depp look like a sentient skunk with that white streak in his hair.
Right.
But apparently Sondheim, like, really liked Johnny Depp's performance of Sweeney Todd, which I honestly think is the weakest part of the movie.
I was going to say, Sacha Baron Cohen, probably.
Honestly, Helena Bonham Carter, I think she does a good job. As Mrs. Lovett.
Yes, I like her.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what's weird is typically, and for reasons we all, did theater. You were a theater major,
right,
Cecilia. So, you know how shows have, like, the traditions. Like, whenever this role is done, it's always done like this.
Yes.
It's like you always have Tracy's mom is a guy in Hairspray, such and such. In Sweeney Todd, typically the title role is played with an American accent and everyone else is British. But yet in the movie everyone is British. So Johnny Depp, if we wanted to stick tradition, should have just been his own voice. But it's weird.
Yeah, that's very strange.
And now we'll do some quick numbers, then we'll get into the movie. Because it's Halloween, it's nice and spooky.
It's spooky!
It's spooky. Welcome to Spooky Season with Stage Rant. This is NPR News.
Our microphone is literally in front of a pumpkin.
I should have lit that candle. Anywho, the numbers.
The numbers. IMDb, this has a 7.3. Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it an 86%, making it certified fresh. Audiences gave it 81%, and I couldn't find the Metacritic score. So, but yeah.
Oddly impressive numbers.
Yes. A lot of people like Sweeney Todd, myself included. And we will get into the reasons why I enjoy this musical for as dark and as grim as it is. Because I remember after we finished watching, because you had never seen this before.
I had not.
We watched this together a few days ago before recording. You had seen this a few years ago.
Right.
And I remember you saying to me, Joe, what was the point?
Uh-huh.
What was the message?
Right.
We'll get to the point later.
Right, because God damn it. So, to set the stage for stage, like, every musical has some sort of, like, lesson. Or at least a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, like, you walk away from and you're like, oh, there was character growth there.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't.
No.
Sweeney Todd murders a bunch of people.
He gets worse. He starts off as, like, an angry guy.
Right.
And then he's like, I'm going to kill everyone.
He's like,
takes down the whole town.
Yeah, there's like, a switch flips and he's just like, you know what? I am going to murder everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Helena Bonham Carter's just like, yeah,
yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Like, I've done crazier thing to get men before, so, like, I'll help you murder people.
Yeah.
And then by the end,
spoilers for Sweeney Todd. If you listen to this and you, okay, yeah, spoilers. Everyone except Anthony, Joanna, and Toby dies.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every other main character is dead.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. With no lesson learned.
I think the point of the musical is that the world is a dark and scary place and men are greedy, vile creatures.
I did not need a musical to tell me that. I know. I was alive for the war in Iraq.
I know.
This is a lesson that most of us already knew.
I know. It's one of the few nihilistic musicals.
Right, which I think is why it doesn't sit super well with me, because, like, this isn't a thing musicals typically do.
No.
And that's not typically a thing musicals need to teach.
No.
And so it almost feels like delivering a not inappropriate message, but in a very inappropriate manner.
And I will...
Like, would you tell someone that they had terminal cancer with a singing telegram? Probably not, right? Like,
no.
Those two things just don't really mesh up.
I will...
was really extreme, too. Sorry.
It was, but if that ever happens to me, that's how I would like it
delivered. Yeah. Oh,
now that's an option.
Oh, Cecilia!
Doesn't happen, but...
We hate to say it, but that lump in your chest... Oh, terminal!
Adam is too good at this.
That's a little upsetting.
Sorry. I do musical improv well. You know this.
You know this.
I knew I wasn't going to really vibe with this from the opening shot.
Yeah.
When everything is just so goddamn dark.
Mm. Yes.
It's like they just took the exposure slider and just dropped it down 15%.
And took saturation and was like 50%.
50%. Let's get all of that color out of there.
Like, I looked up some set pictures leading up to recording this just to get an idea of what did the colors look like before they color corrected and color graded. What color are Sweeney Todd's pants?
I would assume black and white.
No.
Oh.
They're navy blue and gray.
Oh.
But they color corrected so much, or color graded so much, that he's black and white and gray with the blood is the brightest thing in this movie.
Right.
But even then, the blood is still, like, mildly orange.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really red. So I'm like, if you were going for the stylistic choice, which I know Tim Burton definitely was, like, he actually said, like, he was quoted before saying that, like, he wanted to bring out the blood to emphasize, because it wasn't as much in the stage show, but he wanted that to, like, emphasize Sweeney Todd's release, is the word that Tim Burton used, which almost sounds sexual to me, but, like, I don't know what his implication
is. I think it is.
Yeah, it definitely is. Sexual, I guess. And so, like, but if that's the point, then why is the blood orange? Like, let that be the one thing that stands out. Like, an edgy high schooler's art project where they remove all of the color, but, like, red.
It's like, it's a bad example. I mean, it's a good example. Weird context, but if you've seen Schindler's List.
Yes.
There's that one girl in the red coat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that's in color the whole movie.
Right.
But,
and so, like, they're coming into the city, and with the most jarring of overtures.
Which, the stage version, the movie and the stage version are very, very similar. Like, there's very little plot difference. What the movie does is basically chop out all the excess.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very lean, if you want to get Sweeney Todd concentrate, you got the movie. You get the story. The Broadway show has a lot more sexual overtones.
Good.
And undertones.
Good, I say.
Something positive. Right.
Like the...
finally, something fun in Sweeney Todd.
Like the beggar woman.
Yes.
Or Sweeney Todd's wife.
Whoa! Spoilers!
I already said who died.
Yes.
In the musical, she's like... horny as fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, if you listen to the Broadway recording, she has her, like, arms so that whole thing. And then right after she's done singing that, she talks about, like, how much Anthony's got down there. Like, oh, I think we should hop into the bush. One of the lines is straight up, because you've got plenty there to push. And it's like, whoa!
That was actually what Sweeney Todd was really attracted to about her. He liked her ravenous sexual appetite.
Her libido was off the charts.
Unparalleled.
He's like, I've only seen one woman in my entire life with a sex drive like that. It's my Lucy.
My Lucy!
That I murdered. I don't like that his name is Benjamin Barker, because the entire time it just made me think of Bob Barker. Which would have been a way funnier substitution.
Come on down to get your next slit.
Right. So we're introduced to our main character, Benjamin Barker, mm-hmm. who was sent away to Australia. For
having a hot wife.
Yeah, for
sex drive like nothing else.
It all makes much more sense why the judge was so attracted to her at this point. And so he was sent away for indescript crimes.
The judge framed him.
To Australia, which is like, I'm good. I don't know. Do you want to go to Australia?
It's 1800s Australia, though.
So I don't want to go.
Straight up prison colony.
It's just a prison.
Well, yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. Mm.
How did he get back so fast? How did he escape Australia?
He was on a raft. It's
raft.
Is there a connection between this and Pirates of the Caribbean?
Well, Benjamin Barker learned the tale of Jack Sparrow, and he's like, "I'm gonna get out of Australia."
Apparently, yeah. Johnny Depp did a lot of his practicing for his audition for this while on the set of Pirates of the Caribbean.
That makes fuck ton of sense. Mm.
Which is really funny to think about him, like, because he's such a, like, character actor anyway.
Yeah.
Imagine him, like, walking around his Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And just, like, randomly bursting into song. And then having the directors of that movie be like, Johnny!
We're not...
Stay here. Not stay present. Stay here, but...
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, he's coming back from Australia, mm-hmm. and there's, like, a boat, there's, like, another guy on the boat.
Mm-hmm. Anthony,
who's, like, really looking up to Sweeney Todd. I don't know why.
I think he's just like, hey, man, you've gone through some shit.
Want to be my friend?
Also, like, he mentions how, like, he doesn't know anyone in London, so he's probably just like, oh, I'm going to London, you're going to London.
Are we gonna be like friends?
We're gonna be best friends,
right?
It's like your college roommate your first year. Mm. You're just immediately like, you're my best friend now because I have no one else
because
here.
Because proximity,
yeah.
And so they're back in town, and then Sweeney Todd's like, I'm gonna go to this old place.
I'm gonna go back to my house.
I'm gonna go back my to my old house. Yes.
But he first tells Anthony the story of the barber and his wife.
Yeah.
So we kind of glance over the first musical number of No Place Like London, where Sweeney Todd is just like, yeah, London's shit.
Have you seen Mary Poppins Returns?
Yes.
The new one?
Cool.
No.
What did you watch?
Such confidence.
Well, I felt like I had, and then I realized the new one. I have not. But, like, we all know Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Well, there's a song at the opening of Mary Poppins Returns called Underneath the Lovely
London Sky. Which is better, this or Underneath the Lovely London Sky?
This one.
I don't know, man. One's got Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No.
No.
No, this one's better. But anyway, it's got some great dark lines of the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru. There's no place like London. Hey, glad to be back in town.
Thinking man's humor. This is a thinking man's musical. Where you're like, that was a simile, but what is it communicating?
Right.
And then you get halfway through the song and you're like, I don't think he really likes London.
I don't think that man's ever been to Peru.
He's been to Australia, but I don't think he's been to Peru.
No.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
I think he's being facetious. And so, like, you have that opening song, which is, like, fine. But you get the story of Sweeney Todd. And then we're introduced right away.
To Mrs. Lovett.
To Mrs. Lovett.
With the worst pies in London.
Listen, okay, here's the thing. If she marketed her business better, she might have some mild success.
How would you sell a meat pie?
If I were going to sell...
If you knew that what you had was dog shit.
Just awful.
It was terrible, but I'm selling meat pies.
Yeah, you have to sell it, though. I would
go to Boys Town in Chicago and just offer it out.
You know, you're in 1800s London.
You're stuck in London.
I thought that the options were unlimited here.
Nope.
I was just only selling a meat pie.
No.
But,
you are Mrs. Lovett.
Okay, so if I have to, if I'm selling meat pies, in the 1800s, would be on the streets.
You have a shop. You have a storefront.
Oh, right. So
you're Mrs. Lovett.
Yes. We would be, you know, here's a sample.
But you know they're bad.
Yeah, but, you know, give them a little try. But you got to be able to talk them into it, right? So, like, you might have something that's really terrible, but if you can sell something, they're going to buy it, right? So, like, give them that. Make them feel welcome. And
really put on the razzle dazzle.
The razzle dazzle.
Uh-huh.
The sugar and spice.
Yes. Would you perhaps, as a common sales method back then, would you employ a little boy to stand outside a shop and in the worst possible pitch go, "Meat pies in London!" Would you do that?
That just spiked so loud on the recording for meat pies and
meatballs in London. God. I would probably say no.
Oh, okay. Bold of you to. That's like turning away the internet today.
Wow. Child labor was the internet of the 1840s.
Kinda.
I just think I would get sick of hearing him out there every day.
I would too. Oh my God.
There's a fuck ton of kids running around. You can replace him.
Yeah, so
pretty easily.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. A lot of I often like to ask people if they could travel back to a period in time, like where they would go. And anyone who's like, I would go back to like 1800s. I'm like,
stop.
I would get so annoyed walking down the street with all of these little children yelling promotional ads at me. Like, I get enough of that shit on like now in real life. With
ads on Facebook were annoying.
Imagine just a bunch of little cockney assholes yelling, just like, Maypole.
It's the kiosk.
Magical tonics. Like, I'd be like, I'm going back. This is not fun.
And if anyone ever answers that question that says the 1950s and they're white, turn away and run.
Have a dialogue.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is to sell your product, you would not yell at the first customer you've had in weeks and be like, the worst pies in London. As you're serving them a pie. That is actively moldy. It actively has mold in it.
Yeah.
What I did notice that in a scene right after, there are non-moldy pies there. There are fresh pies. She could have offered him.
She selected.
She's like,
the moldy pie.
First person to come to my shop in weeks, moldy pie.
Honestly, from the moment I first saw her, I kind of hoped that she would die. Not based off of her attitude, but from, like, you know, sounds bad, starvation, because she can't, like, she can't, like, she's a bad business person.
She's also a bad person.
Yes, also a bad person.
Like, no one is other than Joanna and Anthony.
Even Anthony. Anthony's a dumbass.
Other than Joanna. Anthony's not evil, though. How is the guy who's trying to save the young girl from marrying a man four times her age a bad guy?
Because that was society back
then. No, it wasn't! No, it wasn't!
That was a reach, wasn't it?
That was a fucking reach and a half.
I just hate Anthony, and we'll talk about Anthony's bullshit here in a minute. But
is it his falsetto?
It's mostly that, but he's also just a dipshit.
It's very stupid.
And he does one of my least favorite tropes in musicals, is the, like, hey, I just met you, and this is, like, staring through a window.
Wanna marry you?
Like, it's such bullshit. Anywho, so she does not do a good job of selling her items.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, can I have that room upstairs? And she's just like, it was occupied by a man.
It's haunted.
Yeah, it's haunted.
Something not very nice happened there.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm aware. It was pretty much me.
And he's like, but tell me about it. And she's like, well, there was a barber and his wife. And he's like, I just sang this song like two scenes ago. Like,
God damn it. Why are we doing this? We just talked about this.
But it is weird because that one song, how she emphasizes that he was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like to think that back in the day when it was Benjamin Barker and his wife Lucy and little baby Joanna, there was this weird woman just hanging around, spying on Lucy's husband. And then she's like, now she's dead of arsenic poisoning. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Not at all foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I hope that guy comes back from Australia soon because I want to fuck him. Mm-hmm.
In London.
In London. With the worst pies.
And then she's just like, oh, wait, it is you. It's you. And he's like, yeah, it's me. And I'm like, okay.
She's like, let me show you your old room. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, by the way, I kept these.
I kept your beautiful, beautiful knives.
But right before we see that, we see this horrifying shot of a creepy baby doll in a crib.
Unnecessary.
It's Halloween. It's spooky.
Spooky!
But she's like, here are your old barber knives.
Razors.
Fine.
Nice. I'm not like, I need your finest Gillette 5-blade knives, please.
What is a razor blade if not a bunch of mini knives?
It's... Uh-huh. Let me just chop up. Sorry, I need to go grab my kitchen razors.
It doesn't work the other way.
Yeah, because they're fucking different,
all
Joe.
All razors are knives, but not all knives are razors.
Oh.
That's just a square rectangle.
She kept all of his razors.
Thank you.
Underneath the floorboards, and he's just like, dude, he's turned on by these razors. Like, he's staring at these things.
Yeah.
And he is.
I mean, that was his livelihood.
Yeah, but he's horny for that knife, like, for that blade.
I mean,
you can't watch that scene and be like,
I mean, everyone's turned on in that scene, and there's two people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's like, he's turned on by his blades, and then, like, Nellie,
Mrs. Lovett's getting turned on by him getting turned on.
Right, and it's she's like, stop. Why is everyone so fucking horny?
She's whispering, like, sweet nothings to him the whole time.
As he's whispering sweet nothings to
the razor. Yes. He's like, you're my best friend, and she's like, I'm your friend, too.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite line of that whole song, because it's, like, the most... We've all been there in a relationship. We're trying to get to know someone, or we've been with someone for a while, where he's like, something about the razors are silver. She's like, silver's good enough for me. She whispers that to him, and it's like, sis, calm down.
Not everything's about you.
Calm the fuck down.
Not everything's about you, gal.
But she keeps dropping hints the whole movie that she's like, we are going to get married.
Uh-huh.
The last scene.
She even sings a song about
By the sea.
In her dark Tim Burton rendition of Somewhere That's Green.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So, like, he's staring into his knife, and he's like, I'm going
that's
to get...
really sexual.
He is. And he's like, I am gonna get my revenge.
At this point, it's just the judge.
Yes. He just wants to kill the judge.
We are... Victim number one.
A.K.A. Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. A.K.A.
Severus Snape.
Professor Snape.
Yes. Right, like, I did not know he was in those.
Yeah, surprise! Him and Peter Pettigrew are like a team.
Right! I do recall asking, is it true that there are 15 British actors and all of them are in this movie and also Harry Potter?
Right.
Yes.
It is odd having Snape and Peter Pettigrew in the same space at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not Harry Potter.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway.
The fucking love scene.
So then we get to the introduction of Joanna.
Ugh.
And my goodness, is this role written for the highest soprano ever. My God. So she has a little song, Green Finch and Linnet Bird. Lynette. L-I-N-N-E-T. Bird. Not Linen Bird.
Linen Bird.
Linen Bird.
Cotton Bird.
Cotton Bird. Wool Bird.
Wool Bird.
That's just a sheep with wings.
A sheep with wings.
And she's thinking about, like, how do you sing when you're trapped in a cage? And it's like, oh, it's because she's trapped in a cage.
Oh, I see.
Tricky, tricky, Stephen Sondheim. Thought we wouldn't catch that one.
That's some wonderful character development artwork. Character development work there, Mr. Sondheim.
Yeah. So then Anthony just sat down on a bench to, like, read
a bench.
To read a book.
Mm-hmm. And he looks into a window.
And sees her singing and watching her the whole time.
And in this moment, he's just like,
my wife.
Damn.
Sorry, that's Sacha Baron Cohen.
Uh-huh. It's Borat. My wife! And he sees her, and he talks to Horny Street Woman. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's her name? And he's just like...
She's like, oh, that's Joanna.
Joanna.
That's the judge's ward. Uh-huh. Don't go near that house.
Uh-huh.
Or you'll get hurt.
Uh-huh. And strike one.
And then the judge straight up's like, hello there, boy.
Come into my home.
Come closer. And he was like, okay.
Okay. Let's play out this scene as if we're John Mulaney describing what is occurring.
My God. So they go. He's like, okay.
Okay.
And he walks right into the house. And the judge is like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to Hyde Park.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Hyde Park? Oh, you're a sailor. Hmm? I got a lot of porn over here.
What the fuck is up with this scene?
He's straight up like, I got Chinese porn.
I got
Indian porn. I got Malaysian porn. What do you want? Because you're a sailor and all you do is fuck.
And he's and Anthony's like, I want upstairs girl porn.
And he's like, I don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And then I've never heard this word used so menacingly.
Uh-huh.
But he's like, you gandered at my ward. Uh-huh. Sir, you gandered? No, I saw you gandered. It's like, what the fuck?
You gandered at my ward.
It's like, oh.
And
I felt that.
And
did you feel like you had done it?
I felt real guilty about it.
And then Anthony gets the shit beat out of him.
By Peter Pettigrew.
By Peter Pettigrew, who throws him out the back door and is just like, dude, do not come back here. We will kill you.
He has
if you
a bloody nose
here.
And bloody mouth.
Yeah, dude just got wrecked. And he's right. And Peter Pettigrew, kind of nice of him, is just like, oh, by the way, Hyde Park's that way. Gives the dude directions.
But then hits him like three times with his cane.
Yes, and then Anthony like gets up and walks around the corner and then keeps singing his fucking
and
song
sings
again.
Joanna.
I'm like, dude, did you learn nothing?
But it's very important, though, that us of the audience learn this one important thing about Joanna. She has yellow hair.
God. If there's one thing you need to know about her, it's that she has yellow hair.
And is she pretty? I don't know.
I don't know.
Does she sing well? I don't know.
Cecilia, you want to know how we know that she has yellow hair?
How do you know?
Because they say it like 15 goddamn times.
Like no. 50 goddamn 15, times.
Like, they just keep saying it. Like, that's the one thing they return to. It's like, why not describe her with any other like type of feature? Just be like, Her skin is white as snow because she's pale as shit. But so is everyone because this is Tim Burton's highly stylized movie.
Yeah.
But no, there's like gold hair, mm-hmm. yellow hair. I'm like, guys, I know.
I want to see if I can look up the lyrics.
Do any other character work here? I don't know. Cecilia, have you ever approached someone's ward before? Refer?
You ever
ward?
You ever walked up to a public servant's house and been like, that child up there, I would like.
Uh-huh.
I honestly can say I've never
uh-huh.
done that.
Mm.
How about you, Joe? Have you?
I have not. Have you ever had the shit beaten out of you because you tried to date someone's daughter?
Thankfully, that has never happened to
me. If that were to happen to you, would you then continue to pursue that relationship?
I think it depends on how badly I got my ass beat.
Mm.
But probably not.
Could you take Alan Rickman?
Peter Pettigrew.
Could you take Peter Pettigrew?
Because Alan Rickman's dead. Rest in peace. So
yeah.
Yeah.
True. Probably not.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's scrappy. A scrappy, dirty British man. Like,
and if he has a cane,
yeah,
no,
he's been in pub brawls before.
Mm-hmm. He can take you. And so like that whole thing happens.
Yeah,
and then like we cut to a thing that I'm not sure was common back in the day.
What? The market scene?
Yeah, like random barber competitions.
So let's set the stage for the contest scene. Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd are in the market, mm-hmm. and she's like, there's this Italian guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's like the best barber, apparently.
Yeah.
And we get to the stage that he's set up for himself, and the small British boy comes out with a drum.
Extra, extra!
That's a New York kid.
Oh, sorry, London. Sorry. Anywho, continue.
Wow. Learn your fucking geography, Joe.
I'm so embarrassed.
And he's selling this miracle elixir that'll help grow your hair out. Mm-hmm. But we quickly learn that that is not elixir. That is pee and ink. That is just guys and peeing in bottles, putting a little ink in there.
Wow.
Pretty rough. Pretty bad. I was like, ah! Ah, Victorian Herbalife.
Right.
Oh.
Ever been approached by someone who wants to sell you Herbalife?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I had a friend in undergrad who got sucked into that. We're no longer friends because he's still sucked into it.
That's called a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they're well.
It's not an MLM. It's a pyramid scheme.
And so trying to sell his miracle elixir. And then, like, Sweeney, I don't know why he felt the need to come swinging.
Yeah, because after... Mrs. Lovett makes a little quick insult.
Yeah.
Borat bursts Full out of Borat. The tent and just talks about how he's Pirelli and he's the best barber in London.
Shaved the Pope.
Shaved the Pope. Mm-hmm. And he's like, who says my elixir's piss? Everyone's dead silent. Because it's awkward. You know, you ever been in like a room where everyone's trying to do one thing and someone bursts in and they start loud and rude all of a sudden?
Dude, if I had a nickel...
I can say that's never happened to me.
if I had a nickel. And but, so, like, you know. To be fair, though, they were talking mad shit against this child.
Right, but, like...
He's just trying to sell stuff, and they're like, this is just piss. And he's just like, please buy some, or I'm gonna get whipped. And they're like, what, you're trying to sell piss? And, like, this is a child!
Which...
Have mercy!
This song is, like, twice as long in the Broadway version.
How?
The second half is the crowd getting aggressively angry at the kid, being like, where's this Pirelli guy? Mm-hmm. We want to talk to him.
Mm.
So it's like, get your... Where's the manager? They all turn into Karens. They're like, where's the manager? Anyway, probably bursts out. And Sweeney Todd's like, I said it was piss.
Fine.
Bold move.
Bold move. And for some reason, he, like, doubles down, and he's like, but we're let's have an impromptu shaving competition.
I don't think you're a real barber.
I don't think you're a real barber.
And he bets him £5.
£5, which today...
We did the math on the inflation rate from, we said, 1870 to today. That's, like, $688.
What I would give, Cecilia, to be at a farmer's market with you, to be at, like, Second Street Market mm-hmm. with you this coming Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, two Italian men decide...
An Italian, like, and a British. An
Italian and British man come out of nowhere, and they're like, I bet you $700 that I can shave that dude's face better than you can. Would you watch?
Honestly, yeah.
I would absolutely watch.
For sure.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd be like, this is the most entertaining thing to happen in the city in decades. Like, absolutely. I'd bet on it, too.
I would bet on it.
How much would you bet?
Ooh, I think I would do... I would throw in 50. I'd
be 50? Like,
$50 bet, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. What do you have to lose, right? Like, I mean, $50, but...
Right. Honestly, though, but you could get...
The entertainment.
The pure entertainment value of watching an impromptu shaving competition occurring at a farmer's market. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, with an iced coffee.
Ooh. Mm.
Oh.
My life's over after that. That's the peak.
Well.
That was that.
You go to your job on that Monday. I quit. What? Listen. An iced coffee. And I saw a British guy and Italian guy have a shave off.
Mm-hmm. You have not lived.
What more is there to do in life?
You have not lived since you until you have witnessed the shave off.
The shave off.
And so they get into like a song where they're singing, and the Pirelli's very like, he's very much the showman. He's just like,
I got this.
He's just boasting the whole time, which amateur move. Right. Like, you don't go on American Ninja Warrior and spend the first 15 seconds talking about how good at parkour you are. You start the course!
Right. Which, to be fair, Sweeney Todd, though, or Benjamin Barker, Todd, we'll call him Todd for the sake of how long his name is.
Todd, we're there.
He doesn't shave until the very last minute.
Because he knows he doesn't need to.
Right.
Because he's confident as hell.
Yeah. Which, also, this song is twice as long in the Broadway version.
Why?
Because barbers not only cut hair, they also were like dentists back then. And so that's just history. And so the competition is not just shaving, it's who can shave and pull a tooth.
Pull a tooth.
The fastest. And they definitely, I'm glad they cut it out because
just kidding, I don't want to see this at Second Street Market anymore.
The movie version, that's fine. The stage version, it gets real dark because after Sweeney Todd wins the shaving portion, Sweeney Todd's like, who needs a tooth to be pulled? Only one guy raises his hand. And they're like, well, we can't do the competition because we don't have two people. And then Pirelli slaps Toby in the mouth and is like, now your tooth hurts, and like basically tortures the kid on stage.
I don't like the stage show.
It's
from what you shared.
Justice for Toby.
Justice for Toby.
No, well, he kind of gets it.
Are you team Toby?
Which also another
I'm conflicted.
A little knock against the stage version here, and I told you this the other night, is Toby is typically played by like an adult. And so one of two things are happening.
Mm.
Depending on how you play it. Either one, this is a man playing a child, or this is a man with a mental handicap.
Mm.
The latter makes me feel uncomfortable. The first one makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So the movie gets high marks in that regard for me of making
for
Toby
hiring
an
a real
actual
child,
mm-hmm. And not torturing him.
Yeah. Competition. We're doing our competition. Mm-hmm. Sacha Baron Cohen spent 16 hours with his personal barber to learn how to shave for this role.
Wow.
That's dedication.
That is dedication.
For like a, what, 2 minute scene?
Mm-hmm.
If that.
Right. Like, definitely, like, I don't think it's worth it.
No.
I don't think it paid off. Anywho, so they're going through it. And Sweeney Todd is kind of like, he's watching all this, and then he pulls out his razor, and he shaves the dude's face in like 4 strokes, which I don't even know how that's possible, but musical magic. 3, 4. No, there's no way. You'd have, yeah, there's. So this is not a visual form of entertainment. I'll describe to the audience what's occurring. Adam is taking his hand, and the ridge of his hand, he is doing sweeping motions across his face and then saying after each one a number. So like, swipe 1, 1, swipe 2, 3. Adam, would you like to report, were you able to shave your face with 4 strokes?
I mean, you really can't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Sweeney Todd
Unless you go right over your lips, which would fucking hurt.
Right. I don't know, given the technique, how Sweeney Todd did not cut this man's nose off.
Right.
But anywho, he wins and gets a lot of money, which is really cool.
$700.
Yeah, it's just not bad for.
Which explains why he comes back later to be like, give me my money
mm-hmm.
back.
Because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I would go collect my $700.
Yeah?
Yes. If I was like.
I earned that.
Able to compete. I've never shaved anybody's face, but I would
now,
do it.
If you were in any competition.
Right.
In a skill that you were good at.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's like, I'm way better than you. And they pull out some, like, next level bullshit out of nowhere. Would you be upset?
Yes.
And you'd be like, I need that money back. That was unfair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's, It's like a con man, right? Like, he got played.
Mm, it's like a pool shark, but a shaving shark.
So Sweeney Todd's a...
shaving shark.
A shaving shark.
Yes.
And so, like, he does come back later to try to collect his money. And he does it with a little bit of extortion.
Which we'll get to... wait, is that it?
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah,
we're
That's right. Yeah. So, he shows up, and he's like, hello, I am an Italian man. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
I'm British.
I'm also British.
And
also
we find out that, that he was a kid that Sweeney Todd had hired back in the day to, like, sweep the floors of his shop. And watching him, shave customers, he was like, I want to be a barber one day. And was like, I'm going to do this shit. And basically recognized him by his razors. Which... fair, but like I don't think silver handled razors are like entirely unique.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not. One thing I'll say, I know a lot of things, Adam. I'm not an expert on 1870s shaving technology.
Me neither. Me neither. I will be upfront. I have no idea.
They
but
might,
you know it,
yeah,
right?
It's a you know, that's yeah.
So what is
yeah,
speak
so,
your truth.
You know, during that time period, it was very rare to come across. A set of razors that were, you know...
of that high quality.
Yes.
That were
because
silver.
They were really nice and clearly well taken care of and, you know, very well tended to, all of those things.
Yeah, so it's not unlikely.
High end. It was high end.
Yeah. Okay. Know. That's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Rolex.
The Rolex of razors.
Oh,
razors.
Yes.
There's a lot of alliteration in this episode.
There is. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he's like, you know what? I need my money back. And also, I know that you're really Benjamin Barker. And I will go tell the judge that you somehow are back
from Australia.
So
which,
like,
honestly, back then, if you managed to make your way back from Australia, you should get to stay.
Good for you.
You deserve it.
This should be like Canadian jail. Like, if you escape, like, you earned it. You're good.
Yeah.
Like, see you later, guy. Like,
yeah. And, he's like, you know what? I'm going to take half of your profits from here on out, or I'll just go, I'll go tattle. I'll go snitch. And then Sweeney Todd hits him with a hot boiling kettle.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
All while the Italian man's child, little street urchin
employee
boy.
He's on his dad.
Yes. Is eating pies downstairs.
And enjoying it.
He's having a good time.
To be fair, he probably doesn't get that much to eat.
Right, because he's a little poor street boy.
Well, he mentions how Pirelli got him at a what was it? A workhouse.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he got me from the workhouse, mom. Because you know how British people call ma'am? It's like mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Stupid accent. Anyway.
Stupid
accent. So he's dead. The judge, or not the judge. The
Well, Pirelli's not dead yet.
Oh, okay.
He's been knocked unconscious.
He's close.
And he's been thrown into a trunk.
He's like 85% there.
Yeah. And so he's thrown into a trunk. Toby realizes, oh, my boss has a tailor appointment. I've got to go. And he runs upstairs. And Miss Elba's like, fuck. And Sweeney Todd's like, oh, yeah, he went away. Better go catch him.
Uh-huh.
Is your boss running? Because you better go catch him. And he's like, no, I should stay here. I need to stay here. Or I'll get a whipping. And so he's like, no, you need to go. He's like, no, I should stay here. And then...
fucking kids.
He bribes him with the thing that everyone knows kids love.
Turkish Delight.
No.
Oh. Sorry.
Wrong movie.
Next item.
Gin.
Oh, yes.
Grabs him with gin.
Yeah.
And,
you could bribe me with gin.
Yeah?
From a young age. Actually, tequila.
We'll unpack that later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, tequila.
That explains your addiction to margaritas.
Tequila child. It's a wild child. And so...
So he runs downstairs.
Yep.
And... Sweeney Todd's like, fuck, I need to take care of this guy.
Uh-huh.
So this is our first murder of the movie,
mm-hmm.
where he opens up the trunk, pulls his head back, and slits him in the most dramatic death that Sacha Baron Cohen has ever done. Whole body just, like, convulsing.
Like, if he had... This is upsetting to me. So Sweeney Todd had slit his throat by pulling his head, like, back further over the trunk. He could have saved himself so much cleanup effort. Because that blood went everywhere. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Which we then find out in the next scene... It literally just went onto his, like, his one sleeve.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wild.
It's insane. Yeah.
And so then, like, the judge shows up.
Because the judge, in a scene earlier, had told Peter Pettigrew, Beetle Bamford, that he's like, I'm going to marry Joanna. I'm changing Alan Rickman's voice every time I do it.
you're just doing Alan Rickman from a different property, so this time you're doing Hans Gruber.
Yeah. I'm going to marry my ward.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good
one. It was really good.
Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie.
I'm going to marry my ward, Peter Pettigrew. It's like, well, I could tell you about a fantastic barber.
Yes.
And he tells him, he's like, my dude.
He's like, dude, I saw.
Listen.
Oh my God.
I love you. I see you. Your coat is dusty and your face is stubbly.
Kind of a great wingman.
Get that shit cleaned up.
Great wingman.
Because as he says, women are weak and you get yourself cleaned up, we'll bend your every will. It's just that easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
So the judge shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, this must have made Sweeney Todd's day. He's like, I just killed one person. Who? I'm going to kill another person.
I'm going to kill the guy. I'm going to kill the judge.
The guy. Oh my God.
I was in a raft for who knows how many days, which if that happened today, there'd be a documentary film made about it starring James Franco. You haven't seen 128 Hours?
I have not.
But you know what that is, right?
No. What is this?
What? We don't have time to go into it. Yeah,
we can talk about it later.
Dude gets his arm stuck in a rock.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a real thing that happened.
Yes, okay. And they made a movie about it. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Anyway, so the judge comes in, and Sweeney Todd is just, like, so happy. He's like, yeah, I'll give you the...
He's getting, like, extra horny staring into his knife.
I'll give you the best shave ever. And they sing the most tense duet ever.
It's cute. I like it.
Called Pretty Women. And they sing about how great women are and what pretty women do. Things from weather watching, sitting in a garden, sewing, knitting.
Oh, here. This is a fun game we can play.
Sipping. Oh.
Do you Cecilia, wanna... we're going to play.
Okay.
A game called What Pretty Women Do.
Okay.
Hang on, I'm going to pull the lyrics.
We're going to list some items, and you're going to tell us whether or not you participate in these items.
Okay, I can't wait.
And then we will tell you at the end, we'll deliver a score that determines whether or not you... Or a pretty woman.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Right out the gate, do you think that you're, like, would you classify yourself as a traditionally, you know, beautiful woman?
I would say I'm pretty. I don't know about traditionally.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. I guess we'll find out with this quiz.
Okay, so.
Everyone's favorite quiz.
The new BuzzFeed quiz.
So, according to this song, pretty women are fascinating. Would you call yourself fascinating?
I think so.
I would say she's fascinating.
Oh, I would say so.
That's one. Okay. That's one.
Sipping coffee.
Yes.
Oh, she's coffeeholic.
Coffeeholic.
Dancing?
Yes.
Oh!
When am I not dancing?
Oh, shit, dude. She's doing well so far.
Are a wonder.
A wonder.
Are you a wonder?
Yes. One of the seven.
Damn.
But only because you threw a wink in there. Hot damn.
Now that's some self-confidence.
Okay.
Do you sit in the window?
Do you answer the question?
You sit in the window.
Do you sit in the window?
Currently, no.
Oh,
no window to sit.
Are you standing on the stair?
Yes.
She has stood on stairs before. I've seen.
I have. That was close. A mini.
Okay.
This is now an interrogation.
Yes, I'm scared.
Are you silhouetted?
Of course.
Most people are, I guess. Glancing?
Glancing?
You glancing?
Yes.
Oh, she's glancing.
She glanced. Yeah. Oh, she glanced.
I'm going to throw it in there.
Oh, breathing lightly. Amazing.
If there's two things I know about Cecilia.
Could you please light this real quick?
No, I can't. It's that she
can't?
No.
Because the next one is blowing out their candles.
Well, she's not blowing out a candle right now, so.
Hang on.
Oh! Oh! Whoa! It's the magic of audio only, baby.
Damn, she's good.
Combing out their hair. Do you have enough to comb out?
Ooh. I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I did have a wig on last night.
Okay.
So. Hmm.
Okay. Are you ever at your mirror?
Always.
All right, Adam, would you like to begin judging?
Hold on, we're not done yet.
Oh my gosh.
In your garden?
In my garden.
Do you have a garden?
Do you have a garden?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like you're lying. Do you have a garden?
I have plants.
But
is it a garden?
Is it a garden?
I guess no.
Or is there a collection in your kitchen that you call your garden?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of hanging ones.
It's a garden.
Okay. It's not a garden.
It's a garden.
Are you letter writing?
Letter writing?
Do you write letters?
Yes, I do.
Are you flower picking?
No.
Are you weather watching?
No.
Would you say that you're proof of heaven as we're living?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Adam, should we make our decision? Can we confer?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. So, yes, like, she had a lot of
she
had a lot of qualities of a pretty woman.
Yeah.
But the garden thing,
shit,
and the window thing.
Fuck.
I'm really fucking caught up on the window
I
thing.
I mean, here's the thing: there are one, two, three windows with solid ledges,
and she's not sitting in any of them.
No.
What the fuck's that about?
It's, you know, it's with a little bit of hesitation here. I'm going to say she's a pretty woman.
I really want to.
Don't hold back.
The window thing. The window thing.
Listen. Some people have, like really thin butts. You know, you can't quite get up.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm good with it if you are.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to take it back?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Do you want to see me blow out a candle again?
Adam, would you like to deliver the verdict?
After much deliberation
no.
with the judges, we have determined that you are indeed a pretty woman.
Oh yes!
Let's go!
Do I get an award?
Bragging rights.
Your reward is you get to go sit in a window.
Oh my god! Yeah. We do have this lovely window for you to sit in. Yeah.
Start playing the Price is Right music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Anyway, so they're singing this lovely song together.
And he's gonna murder him!
Sweeney Todd's like, I'm gonna fucking do it.
I'm gonna kill him.
I'm gonna fucking do it.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
And then in bursts
fucking Anthony.
Anthony. And he's like, Mr. Todd! Holy shit, there's this girl Joanna and there's this judge, and he kind of looks like that. Go, no!
And the judge is like, it's you.
He's like, you. He's like, you'll never see Joanna again. And you, Barbara, fuck you and your weird, horny customers. And he leaves.
He uses the line, and the company you keep.
Yes,
which is the line that I want society to bring back into common vernacular.
And he says the most, like, what's the word? Like, biting insult after that, where he's like, I see what kind of company you keep. Hold their custom well, for you'll have none of mine.
Oh.
It's like, oh. I'm going to start saying that to people, like, places that, like, I feel like are ripping me off, or, like, restaurants that aren't good. It's like,
bad service.
I hope you hold your customer's custom well, for you'll have none of mine.
Ooh.
And he just, like, runs out. And then
Sweeney Todd's pissed.
And Anthony's like, hey, Sweeney Todd.
Need some relationship advice.
What are we going to do? And he's like, get the fuck out of here. He doesn't quite say that, but
kind of.
Basically does. And then Mrs. Lovett runs up and is like, what's happening? I saw that sailor and the judge running around. And he's like, I almost had the guy. He was right there,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't
do it.
I didn't do it because you told me to wait.
Uh-huh.
So earlier, Miss Lovett has a song called Wait.
Right.
Yes.
And
wait.
Where she tells him to actually go really quickly.
Yeah.
to wait. And he kind of blames her in that moment. And he's just like, fuck, why am I here? Why am I living? Mm-hmm. If I can't see my wife, I can't see my daughter, because this one horny old judge threw me into prison mm-hmm. to Australia in the song called Epiphany. And this is the switch.
What is the epiphany that occurs?
Everyone needs to die.
Yeah.
Because everyone is horrible.
Yeah.
And thus begins the murdering.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. We have to decide who we're going to murder.
Yes.
So after he does that, probably I would argue
there's some logistics we need to take care of.
Right. There's a dead faux Italian guy.
Uh-huh.
What are we going to do with that guy?
Like, what are we going to do?
Cecilia, you have just murdered a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in a trunk in your, like, upstairs office.
Okay.
You need to dispose of this guy.
What are you going to do with him?
You also run a meat pie shop, uh-huh. and you're low on meat.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do with that body?
Listen.
Business is tight.
Supply chain. Yes.
Supply chain issues, right?
You got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
And what is it that you got to do?
You're going to have to make that man into a meat pie.
You're going to have to make that fake Italian guy into a meat pie.
Yeah.
Can we fake Italian sausage?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Is this when he builds the chair?
No, this is right after.
Oh, okay.
So they sing the song of Little Priest, which in the stage version is the Act 1 finale. Probably, I would say, the more famous of the songs from the show. But the lyrics, it's like 5 minutes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is like 7.5 minutes on Broadway.
I do like this. This might be one of the few songs in this that I actually do enjoy.
This one's fun. Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, let's sit in the windows.
And imagine. Which
is a thing that pretty women do, but you know about that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do it when I go home.
Yeah.
Not speaking just with the musical Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Yes. And so they're like, we're going to peek out the window and point at people and talk about
As
if they were dead.
And meat pies.
Yes, and meat pies.
And there's some really fun jokes that they cut out from the Broadway version where Mrs. Lovett comes in and says, now let's see. We've got Tinker. And Sweeney Todd says, something pinker. And she's like, Taylor? He's like, paler. She's like, Butler? He's like, subtler. She's like, Potter? He's like, hotter. And she's like, Locksmith? Want to rhyme that shit?
Right.
Then it just stops there. And there's a great bit where she says, now this might be a little stringy, but of course it's fiddle player.
Oh.
And he says, no.
Cecilia, did you get that one?
And then he says, this isn't fiddle player, it's piccolo player. Ooh. She's like, how can you tell? He's like, it's piping hot.
Like I said, a thinking man's comedy.
Hold on. This is the best one. She says, since Marine doesn't appeal to you, how about Rear Admiral? And Sweeney Todd says, too salty, I prefer General. And she says, with or without his privates, with is extra.
God, I fucking hate this movie.
It's a lot.
And this isn't like even my favorite song. Second favorite song.
What's your first favorite song?
Something Something Sea.
Oh, By the Sea?
By the Sea.
By the Sea is good.
That one's cute.
So basically they're like, we're gonna start making pies
mm-hmm.
with people. Then, yes. Then Sweeney Todd builds his chair.
His fun chair.
Mm-hmm.
His backward sliding chair. Which I will say, I've seen two versions of this on stage. And it's always fun to see how they do the chair.
Because
a lot of versions, they slant forward and they slide feet first. The Broadway version, though, did go backwards, which is a gutsy move.
Yeah.
But the set for the show is actually typically like a big giant box that then rotates. So you have like the exterior of the pie shop, the interior of the pie shop, the judge's apartment, and then like the parlor room mm-hmm. in the house. And of course the top is the barbershop. So you can build a slide through the middle.
Right.
So anyway, so yeah, we've built a chair. What happens next?
So now, we're doing, like, our murders. Like,
oh, we have...
We have, like, a little montage.
You have the Joanna murder montage.
Yes. And so, like, we're doing our rage. God, every single time he dumps someone out of the chair, it does the same shot of the body hitting the floor in the basement with the neck crack every single time.
This was doing Javert before Javert did Javert.
Uh-huh, which is really funny because they wanted to cast Russell Crowe in the title role back when Sam Mendes was...
It would have been Russell Crowe as Sweeney Todd.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Uh-huh. How unfortunate is that? That would have been bad.
Real quick, what are your feelings on the new Les Mis movie?
Okay, I actually have not seen it.
Don't?
Good.
Yeah.
You're not missing much.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's better... There's better.
Yeah.
So, Joanna, because she did not want to marry the old man, was sent to the insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Because the past, right?
Like, you know.
Things were crazy back then.
This woman has hysteria.
Uh-huh.
Okay!
And so, like, she's hanging out there. Toby, but then we flash back to, like, our fun little murder montage. Things are going really well for the shop. Toby's now working here full-time and is forming, like, a really, like, close relationship.
With Mrs. Lovett.
With Mrs. Lovett. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cute because it's like, aw, they're friends.
It's like a mother-son thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he's selling the pies, and everyone is loving the pies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is a commentary on society, right?
Yeah.
But it's time for prison break.
Yes. So they're like, hey, I found out where Joanna is.
Joanna!
What am I going to do, Sweeney Todd? And he's like, you're going to pretend you're weak. What is that?
Sorry, one more time. No, go back. Do the same accent.
No.
Power yeah, through. Do it again. You're committed.
Commit. God, I don't even know what we're going
you're
for.
You're going to pretend you're a wig maker. And I'm Sweeney Todd.
And I'm Sweeney Todd. God, you sound like what's-his-face from No Country for Old Men.
Anton Chigurh?
Kinda. Was the voice that I heard in that.
You're going to be a wig maker. I'm Anton Chigurh.
Shit, the other one. There Will Be Blood.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes, you sounded like Daniel Day-Lewis. It's like,
I'm Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
And you make the wigs. And I buy them up. I buy your wigs.
Yes, that. And so he's like, Anthony, you're going to be like a wig maker, and you're going to go there and be like, I need... blonde hair.
Which,
remember? Yes, do you remember? Oh, Cecilia. Cecilia, do you remember?
Hair? Yellow hair?
Yes.
Kind of like what you have.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he goes and like retrieves Joanna.
While
now she's free. That's cool.
While all that's going on, Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd and Toby go and have a picnic together.
God.
And she's like, you know, things are going well.
Uh-huh.
We got a nice business.
Uh-huh.
You're getting your catharsis out.
You're getting your release.
You're getting your release every night. Which we do see that he's not entirely heartless. Because there is a man who does come to the barbershop. He doesn't kill. Because he goes with his wife and daughter.
Oh.
And he doesn't kill them. Which I'm like, good.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good character moment again.
Yeah. Which they do that same scene on the Broadway version where they'll have the wife and daughter waiting at the bottom, and as he's about to kill him, the wife will like come in and be like, hey, how's it going? And then he'll be like, whoop, back to shaving and not kill him.
Casual.
Yeah. And Mrs. Love is like, hey, want to know what I'm really dreaming about? Do you really want to know?
I want to know.
I want to really, really want to tell you by the sea.
Song's cute.
Yeah.
This is cute.
Yeah. Very fast.
I don't think she breathes the entire time.
There's like three places to breathe in this whole song. Apparently when Helena Bonham Carter was recording this, she reached out to Angela Lansbury and was like, you were the first Mrs. Lovett. You did this live. How? And she's like, we just kind of did it every night and hope for the best.
Right.
It's like, damn. So, it's cute.
Yes. But, in the words of the infamous singer Eminem, snap back to reality. we gotta murder again.
Time to murder.
And Toby is becoming increasingly suspicious that perhaps Sweeney Todd is not a good guy.
Right. And so he sings a song to Mrs. Lovett called Nothing's Gonna Harm You. And it's very sweet. It really is like the last sweet moment we have in the show before we just get really dark.
And
he's like, I'm gonna protect you because I think Sweeney Todd's a bad person. And she's like, No, he's providing for us. He's doing good things. I won't tell you what he's providing, but he's providing something. Bodies. the bodies at the floor.
And so, Mr. Beetle.
Beetle Bamford.
Drops by.
Because there's a smell complaint.
There's a smell complaint.
Oh, no.
Because he's also the health department.
Right.
We discussed this while we were watching it. It's very confusing what this guy's job is. He's basically like the Secretary of State for the judge's jurisdiction.
He's like the secretary of plot convenience is what he is.
Yes, which he gets a song in the Broadway version, which I'm glad they cut out, where it's he spends like 15 minutes with Mrs. Lovett where she has this tiny little, almost like kid's church organ, and he's like singing hymnals to her.
Good. Whoa. Good.
And she's like, wow, I didn't know you were such a vocalist, and he's a really bad singer. And then she's like, well, she keeps trying to stall.
Right.
And he gets to this one song where it's like the 20 bells of Leicestershire, whatever. And he's like, and the first bell rings in Leicestershire. And she's like, well, that's very sweet. He's like, there's 20 bells, madam. Okay. And he sings all of it. You don't see that, but
thank God.
Thank God they cut that out. They did. What they did cut out.
Yeah, I know.
I think was perfectly fine.
How long does this stage version?
3 hours.
Wow.
It's a 3 hour show.
In the words of Randy, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. There's a whole song when Anthony's like, I need to be a wig maker, where Sweeney Todd's trying to describe to him, like, this is how you ask for yellow hair. You're looking for flaxen hair. You're looking for wheat hair. You're looking for yellow hair. You're looking for blonde hair. And he's like, okay. He's like, now say it. I'm looking for wax hair. No, wheat hair. God damn it. Better. It's insane.
I'm glad we put that script on Weight Watchers and let it slim down a little bit.
I'm going from a 3 hour stage show to an hour and a half movie.
Uh-huh.
And you don't.
And somehow this still feels
you don't,
like it's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
That's fair. It's not Dune length. Calm down.
Dune went by faster.
Dune flew by and this was. Yeah.
Anywho, so Beetle is like, hey, there's a smell. I need to inspect your shop. And then Sweeney Todd's like, but what if I give you a shave first?
Real quick, come on up.
Do you think, point of discussion for the group, do we think that Sweeney Todd kills every person that comes into his shop?
They don't.
Or does
they
kill
specify
like,
that.
Or does he kill like every like fifth person to come into a shop?
She, during right before By the Sea,
okay.
Mrs. Lovett says, we're doing a nice, respectful business, only killing people who have no family or are absolute strangers.
Yep.
So, Yeah. Okay. She specifies, like, we're only killing, like, loners.
Mm, okay.
We're not killing...
I was going to say, because if you killed every person that came into your shop, it's going to be really hard to build a word-of-mouth business back then.
He has to be, like, a half-reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It would also be really suspicious if the police were, like, working missing persons.
Right.
And that was, like, the last place
for... And they all they're like,
detective. Detective at Scotland Yard. Yeah. It's like, sir, all 47 of these men have gone missing. Their last known location was this barber shop.
Right.
And the inspector general is just like, that's weird.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Where could they be?
Weird. Anywho, back to my hunch. And so he kills
the beetle.
And then Toby,
meanwhile, has been put in charge of grinding the meat.
Yes.
That sounds bad.
And it has now been confirmed to Toby that there are some potentially nefarious activities occurring in this property.
Yes.
And so he's
mostly the rotting human rib cages and spines.
And so Toby is kind of like, I am out of here. And
he's like, get me out.
I'm going to run away.
Get me out.
Bye.
Get me out. This is not a dance. Please come let me out.
And so Todd is talking to the woman of the house, and she's like, hey, he's kind of suspicious. We should go try to find him. And then they go looking for him.
And Mrs. Lovett's like, where are you?
Uh-huh.
Singing this kind of reprise of nothing's gonna harm you.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Sweeney Todd's got a razor opened in the back, just like, I'm gonna fucking kill the kid. And at the same time, Joanna and Anthony have now arrived at the barber shop.
Yes.
And he's like, hi, just chill here until I'll go find Mr. Todd. I don't know where he is. I'll go find him. Then we'll get out. So she is chilling there. Then the beggar woman shows up.
Mm-hmm. God, everyone just shows up in the same place at the same time.
Right. Actually, no, sorry. I was wrong. They get out. They're like, we don't know where Toby is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find him later. The judge shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Anthony and Joanne have not arrived yet.
No, they're there because she ends
That's
up
right.
in the... Yeah.
That's right.
So Anthony and Joanna are there, and then Anthony goes to leave to do something, and then the judge comes in, and Joanna goes and then hides in the chest.
In the chest.
The chest of death.
Yes.
So the chest de muerte, if you will.
Yes. Nice.
Yes. But the judge is back.
Yes, and so...
So you know what time it is.
Sweeney Todd's like, listen, I was wrong. That sailor, he's no... We're not friends. We're not hanging out anymore. He's not on my best friend's list on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there.
Can I shave your face?
Joanna's also repented. She's here.
Mm-hmm.
I have Joanna. Quick shave. Quick little... You know.
That's what I'm going to start doing. When I have to have a tough conversation with someone, I'm be like, hey, how's it going? Can I shave your face real quick before we have this conversation? Because apparently that worked back then. Do you think that would work today?
No.
Oh, dang. Okay. No, there goes my business model.
What's your business?
Murder. but it's time. It's time that Sweeney gets his...
Right.
Gets his sweet, sweet, sweet...
Revenge. And so the judge is like, cool. I'm going to go see my hot girlfriend. And my girlfriend, I mean daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And by daughter, I mean stolen adopted child.
Child. And Sweeney Todd's like, no, you're not. And he stabs him like 37 times in the chest.
Yeah. After the judge realizes, like, oh, shit. You're the guy. Oh, no.
He's like, I goofed.
And he gets fucking murdered.
Many times.
And then...
Well, one time, but many stabs.
The judge flips back. Then the beggar woman shows up.
Yes.
Looking for Beetle Bamford.
Mm-hmm.
And Sweeney Todd then, like, slices her throat.
Because she's like, oh, you look kind of familiar. And he's like, fuck this. Kills her too. Sends her in through the trap door in the floor.
Yeah.
At which point I was just like, thank God. Like, this girl's gotta go.
And then Joanna was like, opening the creakiest hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, where are you going? And she's like, I'm leaving because I'm incredibly uncomfortable.
And he's just like, forget my face. Uh-huh. We never saw each other. Bye.
Bye.
And so he runs down.
We're now in the basement.
And he sees that the judge is not quite dead, still kind of grasping at Mrs. Lovett's dress, like, help me, I guess. I don't know what else he'd be saying. We've been trying to reach you about your colors.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
And so then he's like, all right, we'll open up the oven. We'll just throw them in there and just burn them. And then he realizes that the beggar woman kind of looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty shitty.
Uh-huh.
Because she kind of looks like his supposedly dead wife.
Yes.
Who's not dead.
But I thought Miss Levitt said that she was dead.
And she's then like, I said she poisoned herself.
I didn't say she was successful.
I didn't say she died. I said she poisoned herself. Uh-huh. So, technicality. Uh-huh. From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view.
Then Sweeney Todd's like, hey, Mrs. Lovett.
I'm gonna donkey kick you into
come on over here. It's all good. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine.
Hey, Cecilia, spoiler alert. It's not okay.
No, it's not.
He's not fine with her.
And then they're dancing, and he's like, oh no, the oven door's open. Whoopsie. And then throws her in there in a very graphic scene of her burning alive.
It's a little gruesome. It's a little extra gruesome.
So this might show you how I grew up. This was the first R-rated movie I saw.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think I was, 8 or 9 when this came out?
Hang on.
11. I was 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And my parents had this, and I think they still do to this day, have this mentality of, like action or horror movies that are bad. But musicals or theater that is risque or deals with heavy topics or is super dark, that's just theater. Theater is theater, and theater is all cool. So, this is the first R-rated movie I saw. And I remember thinking that scene where she's thrown to the oven, that was the scene where I was like, oh, that's why it's R.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Like, the murdering, the slicing of the necks, I'm just like, meh.
Meh.
Whatever.
And death by fire.
Holy
too
shit.
Far.
Terrifying. I mean, there are three deaths that I can imagine for myself that would be the absolute worst.
Oh no. We're going there.
You're going next, Cecilia.
So oh, yes. Okay.
Number one, being in a plane crash, because there's absolutely nothing you can do. You just have to accept your fate.
Yeah.
It's scary up until it's very much not very quick. You know?
Right. Like, if you are a survivor,
you're dead.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Second, drowning.
Oh.
Because that's you can't breathe and claustrophobia to a degree.
Yes.
And then burning alive.
That, yeah. My list is probably the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would add in the other worst way would be to sit down in Sweeney Todd's barber chair.
Yeah.
Oh.
That seems pretty terrifying.
Why would you? You're a woman.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't ever need to. But yeah, no. Drowning is one of my biggest fears.
Yeah.
Of dying. Mm, terrifying. I do not want to do that.
Yeah. I am good swimming in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly fine. Swimming in a shallow lake is fine. Deep lakes or the ocean. Beyond beyond the immediate shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
People who do, deep sea diving.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, oh, God, no. Or those pictures you see of, divers next to, whales. I'm like,
nope.
No.
No.
If that thing opens its mouth, you get sucked in, you...
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Pinocchio.
I've seen Pinocchio.
It don't end like that.
No, thank you.
Nope. So you, what are the worst ways?
Oh, God. So, it depends. So burning at the stake would be different than burning alive. Because if you burn at the stake, you die from smoke inhalation.
Right.
Burning alive is a bad one.
Right.
Because it would be every single one of your, nerves firing at the same exact time.
Yeah.
And that does not sound Gucci.
And, like, your eyes would probably, like, melt or pop.
Yep, they pop.
They pop.
Oh, no.
Because of the heat in the front. Yeah. And then, so that's probably the worst way to die.
I think, oh, I'm going to add a fourth rhyme real quick. Guillotine. Because
only if it's not sharp.
So if it's sharp, here's the thing with the guillotine. The human head, once removed from the body, has 13 seconds of consciousness.
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
So, like, because you basically, like, when they would hold the head up after they would, like,
that'd be so cool, though.
Kill someone, you can't breathe, you can't talk, because all the muscles to move.
So you're just looking.
All the muscles to move all of this are down here.
Yeah, that's
so weird. So it's just.
You're wild.
You're just looking, probably in immense pain, right here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's. That would be just terrifying.
Yeah.
Death by bees.
Ooh.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah. Or like a, or I'll extend that. A, you know, death by large quantity of insect would be pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And then also drowning.
Yeah. I know you and I are both terrified of animals, bugs.
Yeah, terrifying.
Like,
I had an eye floater like 45 seconds ago that I totally thought was a bug on the wall behind you. And I almost flipped this table.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm
rational.
I remember vividly having a nightmare a few years ago where a large, like, you know those, like, wild, multicolored grasshoppers in, like, the rainforest?
Yes.
I imagine one of those was on my face.
Cute.
And I woke up with my hand on my face, and I was trying to swat it away, but in swatting it away, it felt like I was just moving my fingers across my face. So in trying to get rid of the bug, I was making it feel like there was a bug on my face.
Terrifying.
Mm.
No, thank you. No me gusta.
I still think about that to this day.
Mm. Anyway. So Sweeney Todd's a little bummed out, and he's like, oh my god, everyone's dead.
So he kills Mrs. Lovett.
And then he's like
holding
his wife.
And he hears Toby.
Guess who's back? Back again. Toby's back.
Not to sell some pies, though.
Nope. He fucking slits his throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sweeney Todd, I think, at this point, he's like, everyone I had an iota of care for is dead.
He's like, same shit.
So he straight up just lifts his head up like, I know you're back there. Go for it.
Send it.
And then he slits his throat. And it does get a bit comical.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of blood that comes out of his throat onto his dead wife's face.
Yeah, it just keeps cutting to the blood dripping over her face, and it cuts three times to it. Yeah. And I'm like, stop.
No more.
Let it end, Jesus Lord.
Yeah.
And then the movie's over.
And that's it.
And I'm left there feeling empty.
Now,
having accomplished nothing.
Right.
The way the Broadway show ends is a lot darker.
Oh.
Oh no.
Where Toby then gets up and is just standing there with the razor, and then Joanna and Anthony come in and they see what happened. And so, without knowing it, Joanna's seeing both of her parents dead in that instance.
Oh, wow.
Instant.
Aw.
Yeah. And that's how it ends. Then curtain.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's time to ask the important question. Who does Meryl Streep play?
Yeah, so we have a fun game. So in season one of Stage Rant, we had Cher with Cher.
Yeah.
We would cast Cher in a role in a musical we would watch. In season two, we were doing Make It with Meryl.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cecilia, if you were able to cast Meryl Streep in any role, gender does not matter here. Meryl Streep is any role in Sweeney Todd. Who is Meryl Streep?
Oh, man. My first thought was Miss Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
But then, can you imagine Meryl Streep as Sweeney Todd?
Ooh. Dark and brooding Meryl Streep.
Like, I like that.
You don't get to see that.
That's a brand of Meryl Streep Joe would be interested in.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, I would watch it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Who would you cast Meryl Streep as?
The Italian Man.
I was going to say the same thing. Because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Now, or, would you have her doing drag, though? Would it be her playing a guy?
No. We're going to reshape the character. And so, she's now playing... Yes. And she is now playing essentially her role from Mary Poppins Returns as this, like, gypsy-esque character.
Who's also a barber.
Who's also a barber. Because that makes about as much sense as a traveling Italian man.
That's fair.
Are Italians known for their barber work?
Well, there's the Italian opera, The Barber of Seville.
So?
And The Marriage of Figaro, which is the sequel.
Oh, okay.
One of the few operas with a sequel.
It's back. It's better than ever.
It was also written 200 years later.
So I would say she's either the barber or crazy, horny street lady.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That would be good, too.
Because how funny would it be if you get to the end and she pulls off her hood and
it's
you're like...
Meryl Streep!
I would lose it!
I'm like, are you kidding me? That was Meryl Streep the entire time. I'm so upset.
I'm going to go with my second choice because my first choice was the Italian. The Judge.
The Judge? Oh.
It's a female magistrate, a female judge.
Wow, how progressive for 1870s Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can we cast her in every role? And then...
Meryl Streep does Sweeney Todd.
Tyler Perry.
Meryl Streep presents Sweeney Todd.
Todd.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep is Sweeney Todd.
And Mrs. Lovett.
And every other
and
person.
And everyone else in the show.
I would watch it.
I would 100% watch it.
And maybe actually enjoy it this time.
Yeah. That was good.
Cecilia, how many, let's do this. How many waffles are you giving Sweeney Todd?
Oh, no.
Out of five waffles.
Out of five, I'm going to say...
Five being phenomenal.
Now, are we doing waffles in that there's, like, it's a waffle maker where there's, like, four quadrants?
There are four quadrants.
So you
so
can do...
4.5 or 4.25.
Okay. So, and this is, like, the overall production, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even though it is not my favorite... I would give it 3.5 waffles.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. It's engaging, right? Like, you watch through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, all these, right, like, that, the coloring and the costuming and things like that, I think is what, to me, makes it to that next level. But
it's definitely, of the musicals that we've watched and also just I've seen... Movie musical wise, it's definitely the most, I don't want to say artistic, but the most stylized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no half assing in this movie.
Yeah.
In anything.
Yeah.
How many waffles, Adam?
Four.
Four waffles?
Four waffles. Mostly because they cut out the general and his private's joke.
monsters.
I would give it four, just because Johnny Depp's fine. I would have preferred to have seen someone else in the lead.
Interesting.
Everyone else is great, except Johnny Depp.
Hmm.
Not a fan.
2.5 waffles.
Mm.
Why?
Right in the middle ground. I think you can have, like, it's a curve, and at some point. There's a diminishing value on something being too stylized where it like almost removes from the content.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it stylized? Yes, it was. I don't know if that was for the best. Some things kind of detract from it and just, it's like staring at a black screen for a while. Like you just kind of get bored. And there's a lot of things in this that could have been, I think, more artistically done. Given the world and the style that they set up that we didn't take advantage of.
Mm.
I also publicly do not like Tim Burton.
Publicly?
Well, okay, so real quick.
I'm a public outspoken critic of Tim Burton.
When I was younger, I was a big Tim Burton fan.
Mm.
That said...
He got you.
He did.
He got you in his trap.
Yes.
His creepy, creepy trap.
Creepy and somehow also whimsical.
Uh-huh.
He has said some comments in the past I'd say 2-3 years that are very racist. He basically, people were like, there aren't a lot of people of color in your movies. And he said, black people don't fit my aesthetic.
Oh.
And I'm like, Tim, no.
Oh, Tim, no.
I think it was right after he made Dumbo.
Oh.
Which I did see that, and I regret seeing that.
Fair.
Because it was, the best part was Danny DeVito, and he wasn't in the movie enough.
I think ultimately, so like style aside, I, having not seen the stage show, and from what you've shared, kind of glad that I have not seen the stage show, because it's 3 hours of a lot.
I'll say this. If it's done well, it's amazing. I saw it in Dayton, where we record this. Mm-hmm. It was a semi-professional production done in the round. So there were, like, kind of walkways and paths that the actors would kind of go through the audience.
Ooh.
How
immersive.
And it was cool. Like, there's a lot more to Joanna and Anthony's story in the Broadway version. People are also a lot more anxious in the stage version. During the Act 2 opener, which is the meat pie song where everyone's like, wow, that's, everything's really great. Sweeney Todd doesn't build the chair, he has it delivered. And there's a whole bit where he's talking about, like, where's the chair, Mrs. Lovett? And he's like, it was supposed to be here at 5. And it's 4:45. And she's like, well, it's probably on its way.
And so I was, he's like, out here tracking his FedEx packages.
I was like, if that's not everyone during the pandemic, be like, where's my Amazon package? So...
Sweeney Todd is incredible. Like, it's very forgetful to me. Like, there's nothing that draws me back to it. There's not a song in it that I attach to and want to go back and listen to. And I don't think that is something I can say about any of the other shows that we've talked about at all. Even shows that I do not like. They have some redeeming songs that have made their way into the Broadway, like, zeitgeist, you know? Where, like, if you were to go into Spotify and search, like, Broadway playlists, like, you could sing every single song on those lists.
Yeah.
Sweeney Todd doesn't often make its way into that list.
No.
And it's because I don't think the music is memorable or engaging.
Because it's also just very dark.
It's dark, and it's very, like, plot driven. But there's nothing that makes me want to revisit this.
That's fair.
Which is regrettable because there's nothing more I love more than seeing a show, hearing a show, and then adding it to my streaming service of choice, and then, you know, belting it in the shower the next day.
Yeah.
What song am I singing from Sweeney Todd in the shower tomorrow morning?
I will say it's fun trying to do the Pretty Women duet with yourself.
Ultimately, I think this is the worst show in London that we have reviewed. And that includes...
Well, hold on. That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm speaking my opinion.
Okay.
Yes. I think this is the worst show in London.
Got a little defensive.
Including... Annie, A Royal Adventure.
Oh, fuck off.
Because you know what I can at least recite the words to, and most people can? The sun will come out tomorrow.
Oh.
Shoehorned in there anyway. I think Sweeney Todd is great. I think it's fun. I think it's dark. I think it's... Honestly, the Broadway version is way better. This is fine. If you're like, I only have an hour and a half and I'm dying to know what Sweeney Todd's about. Like, there you go. It's fine. Movie's okay. Love the stage version. I like dark Broadway because it's not a majority of Broadway. Not to be a contrarian of, like, I like it because it's not here often, but, like, when it is here, it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I like it. So
I can respect that answer.
And I think it's got some pretty good emotional scenes and emotional songs that, if performed well, can be really, like, I won't say touching, because it's nothing in this musical is like, oh, so touching. But, I don't know. I think it can really get you at your core if done well. But real quick, before we wrap up, I want to read to you on the Wikipedia, the awards nomination section because people in 2008 and 2007 fucking loved this movie.
I don't understand.
Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street received 4 Golden Globe nominations and the January 2008 65th Golden Globe Awards, winning 2. The film won the award for Best Motion Picture in the Musical or Comedy Genre and Depp for his performance as Sweeney Todd. Burton was nominated for Best Director and Helena Bonham Carter was nominated for Best for her performance as Mrs. Lovett. The film was included in the National Board of Review of Motion Pictures Top 10 Films of 2007, and Burton was presented with their award for Best Director. The film was also nominated for 2 BAFTA Awards, the British Academy of Film, in the categories of Costume Design and Makeup and Hair. Sweeney Todd further received 3 Oscar nominations at the 80th Academy Awards, Best Actor in a Leading Role for Depp, Best Achievement in Costume Design, and Best Achievement in Art Direction, which it won. Depp won the award for the Best Villain at the 2008 MTV Movie Awards. He thanked his fans for, quote, sticking with him on this very obtuse and strange road. He also won the Choice Movie Villain Award at the Teen Choice Awards and at Spike TV's 2008 Scream Awards. The film won 2 awards, Best Horror Movie and Best Actor in a Horror Movie or TV Show. It was listed as number 490 on Empire's 500 Greatest Films of All Time.
It did have good makeup and hair.
It did have good makeup.
It's a... for.
I will cede that it had good makeup and hair.
In terms of a movie that understood its own aesthetic, it wins.
But it still didn't commit to that aesthetic!
It did.
What?
The whole movie was dark and... yeah.
But The Picnic!
That's...
The Picnic rips you out of it. It was because jarring.
The song is supposed to rip you out of it.
Yes, but the song... But the song can be different. The lead up to the song. Like, it was so obscure.
That's it's how not, it is in the show as well. It's jarring.
But that's not the aesthetic!
Do you want to know what movies are 491 to 489 on Empire's 500 Greatest?
Sure.
So right below Sweeney Todd is 1959's Ben-Hur.
Interesting.
And 489 is 2005's Brick.
What the hell is Brick?
Directed by Rian Johnson.
Well, he did The Last Jedi, and I can't respect a man who did The Last Jedi.
I love The Last Jedi.
All right, so this has been the Halloween episode.
It has been fucking controversial.
This has been the Halloween episode.
Happy Halloween. Stay safe out there.
Have a spooky season.
Have a spooky holiday.
Hey, Cecilia, did you have fun?
Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
Oh my god, so good.
Yeah.
Would you like to join us for season 3 of Stage Rant?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's exciting. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
Have a spooky holiday, and we will see you in the holidays.
Yes, we'll be back in... at Christmas.
At Christmas.
What are we watching at Christmas?
I don't know yet. Die Hard?
That's not a musical.
Oh my god, can we just break away from musicals for a minute and just talk about Die Hard?
Yeah, sure.
God, I love Die Hard.
It's
Die
good.
Hard is so good. Do you like Die Hard? Is it a Christmas movie?
Have you seen Die Hard?
You haven't seen Die Hard? No.
Get out of my home.
I'm so sorry. I'll leave right now.
Get out of my home!
I'm gonna go sit in the window. Bye.
Go sit in the window! There's Cecilia waving through the window.
Oh,
I love it. Dainty Princess Di wave. I loved it.
Yeah. Kind of looked like her for when you were doing that. It was like, wow, it's Princess Diana.
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, her.
Well, this has been Stage Rant. We'll be back after Christmas.
Stage Rant. Go Stage Rant. Bye bye. Toodaloo. Bye bye. Cecilia, do you want to say bye?
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you, witches.